Could you kindly explain to us some of the challenges that the EHATA shelter for abused women and children is currently facing with regards to financing?
We've had a wonderful relationship with an international donor for about 6 years now. It is unfortunate that the funding climate globally for NGOs, and particularly for work with people around softer skills, is challenged. And so the EHATA shelter finds itself in the position where our donor, and we still enjoy good relations with each other, but the challenge is that they are unable to fund us because they are unable in Australia to fundraise sufficient money for the program.
When did you guys become aware of this news?
So last Monday, in our usual communication with our donor, we discovered that it might be challenging for them to continue to fund the shelter, considering that they too are funding dependent and have to consider their own operation.
What you're saying is that the way that your funding model works is that the EHATA looks to funding from an Australian donor who themselves does NGO work. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. What other funding do you guys receive? Is that the only funding, or is that the main funding that you receive? And what does that cover in terms of the managing and the running of the shelter?
So that was our operational donor, and so essentially they were responsible for paying for things like water, electricity, and in particular staff salaries. Now, despite that we are a shelter for abused women and children, we also offer very many other services, because in Haderfeld there are few resources for the community. And so we have a youth program. We've got a substance abuse treatment, informal treatment program. We've got food hampers that we distribute to the community in Ramadan. We've got blankets that we distribute through winter. We've got an amazing program called the Academy for Growing Exemplary Members of Society. And this service is used in this community who are particularly vulnerable between the age of 13 and 21. And so we do offer a lot more than, you know, your stock standard kind of shelter, in that we aim to be a nerve center for the community of Haderfeld. And in uplifting abused women, we also take the opportunity to uplift all of the other sections or target groups in the community linked to women, so children and youth and those sorts of things. We work with young men because you can't be talking about women's issues without educating and teaching prevention to young men. So the donor would cover all of that. We do receive some small amounts of program funding for some of the other work that we do, but it's in the operation of the shelter, it's the running of the shelter, it's the fuel, the salaries, the bread and the butter that we are now losing.
Could you just map for us or try to explain what would happen if you didn't get that operational funding? What would it look like? You know, what would have to happen within the organization if, you know, you don't have that operational funding?
Well, it certainly is a very tragic situation if we didn't have operational funds. So small programs could continue, but how do you continue programs without staff? One thing that I failed to mention was that one of our other programs that benefits almost 40 beneficiaries is our medical and dental suite. We rely, in partnership with Vision, we rely on about 30 to 40 volunteer doctors and dentists who see to the needs of children and disabled adults living in institutions. And we see to their medical and dental needs, and that's another thing. And so the bottom line is, if we didn't have money to pay the staff, obviously they would leave because they have families to feed. If we didn't have money to pay the rent, abused women and their children would have to either go back into abusive situations or the streets. If we didn't have water and electricity, we may allow them to continue to live on the premises, but they wouldn't be able to keep themselves clean, or we wouldn't be able to prepare food for them. So it's quite a dire situation if the fundamentals are not paid for. And I think I want to liken it to a household. You know, if there's no mother to kind of run the household, then the children are lost. If there's no water and electricity at home, then one can't function as a family. And this is the risk that we face as the EHATA right now.
Is there perhaps a fallback plan? Is there something that you guys are going to do? Or what would you like, what appeal would you like to make to the community in terms of in this dire situation that you guys are faced with right now?
So it would be phenomenal if the community would kindly donate what they have. You know, in the past few years, we've also seen a drop in donations of things like Pakka and Lilla and stuff, because people are struggling. The financial climate in South Africa is obviously quite a challenging one. But if people are willing to donate meals, toiletry packs, some of the needs of the children, we'd be very grateful. But more importantly, if people could put us in touch with corporate donors who are willing to fund the kind of work that we do, because we believe that our work is phenomenal, impactful, and important in changing the lives of people in ADASA. And as you know, and as the audience will know, the ADASA community is gang-ridden and sometimes a pretty depressive place to work in. And for some of the, particularly the young people and the children that attend the shelter for things like creche and aftercare and smart brain, it's the only ray of light they have before returning to their homes that are so depressive, so wrought with social guilt. And so we're asking the community, with whatever they're able to contribute, we would be grateful to receive.
Absolutely. Do you have perhaps some details that people can perhaps contact you with or get a hold of the IHATA shelter?
Yes. So on our website is our bank details. So particularly asking people for monetary donations so that we could cover the basic things like rent, water and electricity. And the website is www.ihata.org.za. My email address is much the same. It's director@ihatashelter.org.za. And our office number is 021-638-5578. And office hours are 8 to 4:30 each day.
Thank you so much, Nuran Osman, the director of the IHATA Shelter for Abused Women and Children, for telling us about what's happening at the IHATA Shelter and also, you know, the challenges that you guys are facing. And I wish you all the best. We make dua that people would actually contribute and that you will find a donor to contribute to your operational funding. Shukran so much for talking to us.
Thank you once again to the Voice of the Cape for always sticking their necks out. For the women, abused women and children at the IHATA shelter, we appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.